Oh, I like a coffee and I like tea. I like the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea, Java and me. Cuppa, 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 cuppa. Conspiracy. Yes, we call things we don't like conspiracies. We call other things conspiracies. We just like to use the word conspiracy. We don't know what it means.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. You're going to need a safe space today. You see, today we're going to talk about the JQ. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. And it is. That's just how it is.
Oh my God, great one. Oh, my feelings. Yeah.
I know. Just get over yourself, people. Probably gonna show much more. Gotta get this shit out of the way. Is this another? Made some progress today on getting things organized and organized and organized and just knocking things off of the list. And speaking of knocking things off the list, welcome to today's episode of Stating the Obvious Podcast, in which, yes, we are going to talk about the JQ, because this was a paid for. This is a bought. I have been bought. I've sold out. This is a paid for podcast. Jamie sent in the requisite number of cuckbucks, which nowadays is 111 cuckbucks, if you want your own episode of Stating the Obvious. He sent me 100 plus cuckbucks. And he requested that I do a movie review of a movie called Conspiracy, because he heaped praise, as he should, upon my reviews of the two James Bond movies in order to settle the bet between T.J. Martinell and Aaron Cleary about which Bond movie was the best, which, of course, Cleary didn't like because he lost. But I mean, you know, if Aaron wouldn't have picked a James Bond movie where James Bond basically doesn't do anything other than get rescued by a woman, well, then maybe he would have won. I mean, that he lost a lot of points on that. You know, if James Bond would have actually been a man and extracted himself from the situation and saved the day on his own, then Goldfinger may have won the competition, but it didn't, because all Bond did was lay around in a fucking prison cell being held captive while a woman did all the work. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Jamie wanted me to do a review of a movie called Conspiracy that was made in 2001. I've never heard of this before. And it is about the JQ. That is, for those of you who don't know what the JQ is, the Jewish question, right? The question of what do we do with the Jews? Now, Jamie also, jumping ahead a little bit, we did some emails back and forth. He also, I don't know where he got this from. I'm sending him an email when I'm done here telling him which episode his review will be in. But he somehow or another found a digital copy of a movie called The American Way, which is also known as Riders of the Storm, which is one of my favorite movies that cannot be found anywhere on DVD. No, it's not on DVD. It's not on streaming. Maybe it's on streaming. I'm somewhere out there. But I have a copy of it on VHS. It's one of the few reasons. There's a couple of things I have on VHS that I cannot find on DVD or in digital format. Another one is Cyndi Lauper in Paris, which is a concert of Cyndi Lauper performing in Paris, just in case the title of Cyndi Lauper in Paris wasn't obvious, you know. Well, it's kind of like for some people, like the Jewish question. It may not be obvious what that means. So just in case any low IQ people are listening to this podcast today. And the reason, it's a great concert. Seeing that concert is what turned me into a Cyndi Lauper fan. It is fantastic. Can't find it anywhere in digital format. Another one I can't find is Pete Townsend's Deep End Live. There's two versions of that concert. One of them you can get on CD, but the one that was released on VHS, can't find it anywhere. Nowhere. Not as a DVD, not even as an audio CD, nothing. So I've got a couple of VHS tapes, which require me to keep around a VHS player. So anyhow, great thanks to Jamie for finding this movie in a digital format. I was able to burn it onto a DVD in addition to now just having it in a digital format on the computer. I mean, it's, you know, the quality is not amazing, but I wasn't expecting that. Anyway, that's enough rambling. Let's get to the fucking point. Let's get to the JQ. With my hot mug of tea. And by the way, if you can start writing your complaint letters now, you can send those to God. That's Fur Baby spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Go ahead and send me your complaints. So I'm reading the show notes. The liner notes, whatever the hell it is. By the way, I got the movie from Netflix on DVD, so you can find it out there if you're going to go looking for it. It's a 1.5-hour movie, and according to the liner notes, this was a 2-hour meeting in which a number of German officers and civilians all came together to decide what was going to be done about the Jews. And so I looked at it and I said, well, it's a 1.5-hour movie, but it was a 2-hour meeting. Okay, so if it's a 2-hour meeting, how do you get that 1.5-hour movie? What did they cut out? Well, after having watched it, apparently what happened is there were no notes taken, or all the notes that were taken were destroyed, and there was a edited version of the transcript. They had a transcriptionist there transcribing everything. And then they took that transcription and they made an edited down version of the transcription, which they then gave to everybody who attended the meeting, told them to read it and then destroy it. So apparently, according to what I was informed of, you know, through watching the movie, one of these transcriptions survived, and that's what the movie is based on. Now, of course, I would like to see this transcription because it would be interesting, and also I'd like to know, you know, how much liberties did the movie take? Because this is one of the problems, you've heard this before, I always say this whenever I talk about any movie that's based on a true story. We know that they're going to, shall we say, elaborate on things for, you know, dramatic purposes, which, okay, it's a movie. It's got to be entertaining. You know, so, I mean, you know, how real was the dialogue in the movie? Because the movie is dialogue. It's a movie of dialogue. There's no explosions. You know, no Jews get gassed in the movie. There's no machine gunning down of any Jews. There's no spaceships. There's no laser beams. There's no monsters. Are there any tigers or lions? There's not any girls. No, wait, I take that back. There was a girl. There was one girl. The girls are not wearing bikinis. Yeah, it's an hour and a half of talking. So thus the dialogue is the substance. So I'm curious, and maybe I'll see. I mean, you might think that this transcript, once it was discovered, you know, it's on the internet somewhere, maybe you could find it to read it. I would be interested in seeing if they took liberties with the dialogue, or, I mean, what I would have done if I was making the movie, I mean, if it's really that good, just do the transcript. Anyhow, So I don't know how accurate the dialogue in the movie is to this transcript that was supposedly found. But the fact that the transcript was edited down would explain why you could take and how you could take a two-hour meeting and stick it into a one-and-a-half-hour movie, along with all the other things that happen in the movie. So the movie begins, of course, with narration. Ding! Because, you know, for the people watching it who aren't familiar with the concept of World War II, maybe they went to public school. I don't know. The movie as a whole. So here's the thing. There's not that much to really review about the movie as far as the making of the movie. Only because, unlike, for example, a James Bond film, you don't have multiple locations. If there was, and this is a thing, it's a very good movie. Let me start here. It's a very good movie. I watched it all the way through. And it did do a very good job of pulling me in, you weren't there, did a good job of pulling me in, you know, keeping me interested. The pacing was excellent. Again, a movie where it's all basically just talky, talky, talky can bog down. This movie never bogged down. It keeps moving the whole time. The flow is very good. The meeting is broken up as they take breaks to go out and get food and beverages and stuff like that. So everything starts off with the people congregating together and they're trickling in and greeting each other. And there's a lot of Heil Hitler going on. Everybody is Heil Hitler and Heil Hitler and Heil Hitler this and Heil Hitler. You know, every time you see somebody, you gotta go Heil Hitler. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, God damn, this is a lot of fucking Heil Hitlering. Like, I get it, okay? But can we lock off the Heil Hitlering? Well, then the main character, the general in charge of all this, he shows up. And apparently he thinks a lot like me, which is not a surprise. And he's like, okay, people, if we keep doing all the Heil Hitlering, we're not going to get anything accomplished. Can we all just acknowledge the Führer and there's no more Heil Hitlers? And I'm like, thank God, because if I heard Heil Hitler one more time, I was going to fucking scream. So everybody congregates, you know, the meeting begins and they take a break and there's the talkies, all the interactions during break time as people are talking to each other. Then they go back to the meeting and then there's another breaky and all the interactions and then they go back to the meeting and then they conclude. The acting is very good. The characters are very well done. Everybody is very believable. You can get a very good sense of who all of the people are. The actors did a very good job of conveying who the people they are portraying were. And from the interactions they have with each other, you get a very good idea of all of the politicking and the backstabbing and everything that goes on behind the politics. Because, of course, this was the purpose of this meeting. I'm now an expert on this because I watched a 1.5-hour movie about it, so I am an expert. Based on what's in the movie, right? The purpose of this meeting was to consolidate everything, to consolidate the implementation of the solution to the Jewish question under the command of the SS. Because up until this time, you know, there was the government and then there were the different provincial governments, you know, like in occupied Poland and all this other stuff. And so there were all of these different bureaus and organizations and aspects of the military, components of the military, and everyone had their Jews in their particular area, and they're trying to deal with their Jews in their way, and it's very haphazard. And the purpose of this meeting was for the SS to come in, get everybody's opinions, then put everybody on the same page, and make it known the SS is dealing with the Jewish problem. Good old German efficiency. You can't fault them for that. I appreciate that aspect of it. I learned a lot of good terminology in this movie also. So let me think. I'm looking at my notes here. Is there anything else? I mean, the movie was very well directed. You know, the camera shots were good. The lighting was... Everything about the movie technically was very good. The acting was fantastic. And there is me getting distracted. Hold on. And right offhand, I don't know that I can say anything else about the acting or the cinematography. I mean, there were no faults. There were no faults at all. So now let's talk about some of the content. Okay? Your feelings may get hurt in some of the things that we're about to talk about. Just letting you know, because we are talking about God's chosen people, the Juden. And we could say these things. Here's the interest. Let me start here. I'm watching this movie and I'm thinking to myself, you know, if somebody just took this movie and loaded it up in Adobe Premiere, and every time someone said the word Jew, substituted the word white, I mean, this would basically be shown on television. I mean, this would be a movie that would meet everyone's approval. And let me just say that, you know, this illustrates the problem with multiculturalism. You got multiple cultures in the same place. They're going to conflict with each other. The Jews were/are conflicting with Europeans. What do you do about it? Right now, today, in the current year, at the current moment, as I record this podcast, we got BLM running around. Right now, the last I looked at Twitter, we're going to rename our military bases that were named after Confederate generals. So once we've done that, are black people going to get jobs and stop having babies out of wedlock? No. They're not. That's not going to solve anything. The problem isn't the name of the military base. The problem is multiculturalism. The problem is different nations, different cultures trying to share the same geographical region and the same government, right? This is the problem with the United States. I've talked about this before. The time has come for a breakup. Okay, it's here. We're past. Once again, all this shit that's happening right now is because we cannot move past this bizarre idea that the United States is one nation, indivisible. It's not. Okay, New England is a nation. The left coast is a nation. Texas is a nation. The old South is a nation. They're like Colorado, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, Wyoming, like we're kind of a nation. Then there's that stuff in the middle, the other part of flyover country that doesn't have mountains, you know, that the people on the East Coast and the left coast fucking disgust and hate over, right? We are not one nation. We're not. And the cities, oh my God, the cities should just become city states. We should build walls around them, fill them with water, and kill everyone inside, because those people are the dregs of society. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, the Germans are coming together because they have a problem with multiculturalism. Unlike white people in the United States in the year 2020, year of our Lord and Savior, the Trumpenfuhrer, the Germans were not in denial of the fact that multiculturalism doesn't work. The Germans were not in denial of the fact that diversity plus proximity equals war. And thus they came up with the plan to, here's a new phrase I learned, new word that I learned rather, it's not a phrase, it's a word. Evacuate. See, we're going to evacuate the Jews, which was a code word for killing them. And also in this movie, then after the movie, there's these little featurettes that you can watch on the DVD I got, at least anyhow. There's two little featurettes, which are basically, you know, actors' virtue signaling. The actors are all talking about what terrible people their characters are, and you know, how terrible the people they're portraying are, and how terrible the Nazis were, and how they used all of these euphemisms and phrases so as to disguise what they're really talking about. And I'm thinking, oh, you mean kind of like, you know, euphemisms and phrases to disguise what you're really talking about, such as diversity, or Black Lives Matter, or multiculturalism, or affirmative action, or kill all white people. Oh, wait, actually, kill all white people means exactly what it says. So anyhow, you can watch the actor's virtue signal after the movie, or before the movie if you'd like. It's pretty pathetic. I mean, they're your typical... Again, great, you guys have fantastic acting skills, but no one gives a shit about your political opinions. You really need to understand that. But I understand you got a virtue signal, especially over something like this. Whenever it comes to the Juden, everybody's got a fucking virtue signal. Just, you know, it's at the point where if you're not actively virtue signaling for the Jews, you're anti-Semitic. It's like, what is that fucking Orwellian thing? About how you can't be silent? You know, like if you're silent about racism, that means you're a racist. You know, it's the variation of you're with us or you're against us. Right? You have to declare a side. I mean, that's where we are with the fucking Jews, right? If you are not almost constantly vocalizing how in love you are with the Juden, then that means you're anti-Semitic, just because you're not actively virtue signaling your support for the Jews. The other thing that's interesting, well, there's a lot of things. The other thing on this page of my notes that's interesting, and I don't remember any of the characters' names. I think I scribbled down a couple of names here and there, but it's not that big of a deal. There's this one guy, he is involved in the writing of the law. And he's talking, so, all right, so you go into this debate because you've got the Jews are integrated in society to a certain point. So, for example, you've got like a Jew marries a German. Okay, and then they have children. Okay, well, the children aren't fully Jew. And then what if those children, because, you know, this happened in the past, and now those children who are, say, half Jew, they've married a German, and now they have children, and all this stuff. And so there's the legal need to legally, in a structured way that makes sense, determine who is a Jew and who isn't a Jew, right? What are the criteria for determining a Jew from a non-Jew? Especially, you know, if you're going to evacuate people, you got to be able to figure this out, because you don't get a second chance, depending on whether you evacuate them or not. And so the one individual who was involved in writing the laws that determine who is Jew and who is not Jew, he's very interesting because he's correct in the sense, when you watch the movie, he has this thing that, look, we have to stick to the law. You know, we can change the law if we need to, but the law that determines who is Jew and who is not Jew needs to be clear. Otherwise, and I'm paraphrasing greatly here, but this is what I get from, otherwise, you know, we are circumventing the rule of law, and then we're just a bunch of uncivilized barbarians. And in that sense, he's right. You know, if you're going to have laws, if you're going to have a statist society, whether you're, not exterminating, we evacuate them. Regardless of whether you're evacuating Jews or, you know, importing Jews, right? You could be Nazi Germany or you can be Israel, which of course is an ethnostate specifically for Jews, because you're allowed to have ethnostates for Jews. You just can't have ethnostates for white people because, well, that's racist. But whatever your laws are, the laws need to be clear, and they need to be understandable, and they need to be applied across the board. There is also interesting debate over the question of, do we evacuate the Jews or do we sterilize the Jews? Now, the sterilization thing, see, this is always an interesting concept for me because, of course, I've read and watched way too much science fiction. And this is sort of an old trope already in science fiction, is eliminating a species via sterilization. I actually have, and other people's podcast coming up, whenever I get it scheduled, it's not scheduled yet, of a pseudopod episode of a short story upon which was based a short film that I have talked about in the past on this podcast. Whew, that was convoluted. In which aliens, we're not going to delve into it now, but essentially aliens sterilize humans so that humans stop reproducing and die off so that aliens can then colonize our planet. Of course, that was also the main theme of an episode of Stargate SG-1 that takes place in an alternate timeline, alternate future, where aliens come to Earth through the Stargate and they do whatever they do. It's been a while since I've seen it. I forget exactly how they affected it, but they essentially sterilized all the Earth women so that there is no more reproducing. And so there's a lively, get it, lively debate. See what I did? A lively debate between the people who are saying, well, if we just sterilize the Jews, we can still use them as workforce labor, as opposed to if we evacuate them, then. And see, that this is, it's hard to fault any of these people. They're thinking logically, because then they point out, well, look, if we're evacuating them, now we got to have soldiers, we got to shoot them, we got to use bullets, we got to do something with the bodies, now we got to do all this work. See, it was only later in the movie that the SS comes out and says, well, see, we've been testing this new system where we gas them, and it's effective, and yada, yada, yada. So anyway, very interesting debate between the question of sterilizing the Jews or evacuating the Jews. All right, on to little next page of my notes here. Where am I at on time? Got to get this done here. All right. It did start off, the movie did start off with the, after the narration, ding, it started up, for those of you who don't get the ding, that's CinemaSins. If you don't know what CinemaSins is, go to YouTube, Google for CinemaSins, and if you really want to watch some good stuff, watch the CinemaSins for the 3 Star Wars prequels. Absolutely destroys them. Anyway, then we go into the I'm an asshole cliche. Ding! The only thing that could have made it better is if he would have been eating an apple. So we start off with the guy who is organizing the meeting in this very nice house that used to belong to a Jew. That had to come up in the conversation, of course. The SS officer who is organizing the meeting, one of the waiters, you know, drops some stuff, and the SS officer goes off on him and yells at him, and yeah, I better not see you anymore. And then he talks to the fucking head waiter. He's like, do we have enough china? And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, dude, seriously? Does your meeting revolve around having a sufficient number of matching plates? I mean, is that really the biggest fucking concern you have here? Like, you drop some fucking china, clean the shit up. This is not something you go. Then again, you know, the guy's a fucking, I think he was a colonel in the SS. Probably to be a colonel in the SS, you have to have a little bit of a corn cob up your ass. I don't know. So anyhow, it's one of those things that was really the only part of the movie that felt a little bit over the top to me. Because again, it's like, you don't have to take the, guys, he's a colonel in the SS. You don't have to convince me that he's an asshole. Okay, there's better ways to convince me he's an asshole than wasting my time with him yelling at people because a waiter dropped some plates and then demanding to know if there's enough plates. It's a huge fucking house, okay? There's a giant stack. I'm pretty sure they have some more fucking plates. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, seriously, Colonel, are you having a tea party for the girls, or are you getting together to discuss the evacuation of the Jews? Which one is it? I said, well, you know, we were going to evacuate the Jews, but oh my God, we ran out of matching plates. And so now I don't have a plate that matches everybody else's plate to put my corned beef sandwich on. I guess we can't evacuate the Jews anymore. Well, we may as well just all go home. All right. Looking at my notes here. Orwellian quote. The SS general says, quote, we control events better when we control opinions, unquote. Now, we certainly today can't possibly live in a world where that would apply, do we? They're also having this debate about the Jews immigrating to other countries, which they rightly point out that a lot of the other countries that Jews were trying to go to wouldn't let the Jews in. You know, probably because they, that's funny. All these other countries didn't want the Jews either. Fascinating. Because as one of the characters says, quote, who would want them? Unquote. You know, and this is one of those things too. Just like this is right up there with all the conservative Republicucks who keep telling us about how they and Abraham Lincoln personally fought a civil war to free the slaves. You know, this thing, too, whereas a lot of people out there seem to be under the impression that FDR and them went and fought World War II to save the Jews. Nobody was fighting World War II to save the Jews, okay? That was not a thing, just in case you're in doubt. Then they run into the problem of, well, the more territory we take, the more Jews we're going to acquire. What are we going to do with them? This is where they go into the wasting of the resources, keeping them alive, which is also a legitimate thing. This is why, back in the olden days of warfare, prisoners of war weren't really a thing, because if you took prisoners of war, well, now you have to guard them, you have to feed them. I mean, okay, yes, you can just shoot them, you could execute them, but we're talking about warfare when people weren't douchebags, you know, Napoleonic warfare and shit like that. And even during the war between the states, for the conservatives in the audience, you guys call that the Civil War, kind of like you call the invasion of the country diversity. But even during the war between the states, right, you'd have your battle, and whichever side would win, and they'd round up all the losers. It's like, and there were lots of prisoners taken, and yes, there's lots of people died in the prison camps. We know all about that. But in many cases, some cases at least, I can't say many, in some cases, they'd just be like, hey, look, if you guys will just, you know, promise not to take up arms anymore, well, it was called parole. You know, we'll parole you. You just swear I will not take up arms against the Confederacy, or I'll not take up arms against the Union. We'll parole you. We'll take your guns. You can go home. Because back in the day, you didn't have the infrastructure and the soldiers and the time and all this other shit to deal with keeping prisoners of war. You got to have some place to put them, and you got to give them food and furniture and beds and clothing and all this other shit. You know, it's kind of like boomers. It's kind of like keeping boomers alive. I mean, look how much money we're sinking into keeping the boomers alive. And Wuhan virus came along, you know, like some little fucking SS colonels and generals. Wuhan came along and said, hey, I'll evacuate those boomers for you. But oh, no, we couldn't. No, we didn't want the little SS Wuhan to evacuate the boomers. Oh, we want to hang on to our boomers, and we want to keep paying money to keep those boomers alive. And so the conversation continues, and they're pointing out how the war has been stalled because the progress in Russia is stalled and winter has come and we need the food and the money and the men and the bullets and all this other stuff in other places. We can't waste these resources keeping the Jews alive. There's some people are pushing, well, but we can use the Jews for labor. One of the guys points out that, you know, most of these Jews have never done labor in their lives. You can't really use them for building things like roads. Roads, or bridges or battlements or anything like that, because the stress of doing actual real work would kill them, which of course got some laughs, and one person said that, yeah, that's the point. So anyhow, another great quote. This is classic. One character, they're talking about the Juden, and one character says, do they even have a hell? And the SS general says, they do now, we provide it. Now, see, again, I don't know if this is actually word for word from the transcript, in which case, if it was, some of these guys are pretty fucking snappy with their comebacks, or if this was elaborated upon for dramatic purposes. Our law-writing friend, who is trying to get everything clarified, points out the bureaucratic train wreck, and that's exactly what he calls it, the bureaucratic train wreck, of trying to sort out who is a Jew and who is not a Jew, and weighs in on the solution of simply sterilizing them. Because then you're not killing people, you're just sterilizing. To which we get the snappy comeback of, death is the most reliable form of sterilization. Once again, I'm like, I got so many good quotes from this movie. At another point, our friend says, our SS general says, this is a quote, if we deal with the reality of the Jew, quote, deal with the reality of the Jew and the world will applaud us, unquote. Yes, but only if you win. See, unfortunately, you lost. They also, in their discussions, made the point that killing the Jews martyrs them, and of course, which it did. This is why, right now, today, in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer 2020, this is why the Juden have as much power as they do. Because, you know, the Germans, once again, and this is the problem, the Germans half-assed it, they killed 6 million Jews, but they left a bunch of others alive. If they'd have killed all the Jews, we wouldn't be having this discussion. If they would have killed none of the Jews, we wouldn't be having this discussion. They killed 6 million, and now those 6 million are martyrs, I don't know where I got mortars from, a mortar is different. Those 6 million are martyrs, and every year we have to hear about them during Holocaust Remembrance Week or month or whatever it's up to now. And it goes on and on and on and on. And nobody can disagree with a Jew. You can't question a Jew. You know, you can't point out that Israel is an ethnostate. Nobody else gets to have an ethnostate. By nobody else, I mean white people. Japanese have an ethnostate. More power to them. Chinese have an ethnostate. Good for them. White people, no. No ethnostate for them. Can't have that. That for that page. There was also a lot of smoking, a lot of booze, and a lot of food in this movie. They're living it up, man. Whew, you would never know there's a war going on. It's also interesting watching this movie because, of course, you know that everybody in this movie is supposed to be evil, right? They're Germans, they're Nazis, it's Nazi Germany. Yeah, they didn't like Jews, Adolf Hitler, literally Hitler. Right? You know, everything here has this. And it's well done. I mean, there is this constant throughout the movie, this overtone, this layer of evil just sort of settles on everything. Everything has this evil connotation to it. And one of the attendees talks about looking forward to, quote, a German culture triumphant, unquote. And once again, it puts things in perspective of, you know, the winners write the history books. This phrase, German culture triumphant, is supposed to be, you know, terrifying and evil and bad, because these evil, bad Germans were going to impose their culture on other people. And oh my God, it's terrible. And yet, and see, here's the thing. When you watch this movie, just keep in mind the current year, everything going around, and look for all the parallels. Right now, we live in a society where literally Hitler, the military and the government, along with the corporations and the media, are trying to shove down our throats a diversity culture triumphant. And in what way is the German culture inferior to the diversity culture? And we say, well, they gassed the Jews. Okay, well, the diversity culture is right now rioting and looting and destroying other people's property. The diversity culture is telling 8-year-old children there's no such thing as boys and girls and putting them on hormone blockers and destroying their bodies. The diversity culture is into homosexuality and pedophilia, which are essentially one and the same because all male homosexuals are pedophiles. I don't care if you agree with me on that or not, you're wrong. The diversity culture at the same time all this is happening is not doing very much to oppose, you know, Imperial America, dropping bombs on foreign countries, blowing up Muslims who are going to weddings with missiles launched from flying robots, at least not when a half black man was doing it. I mean, the idea that that is somehow superior to the German culture of Nazi-era Germany, I just don't buy it. Once again, all the hatred of Nazi Germany really comes down to one thing and one thing only. The Jews. I mean, Germany fought World War I. They were the quote-unquote bad guys. But the Germans in World War I are not demonized in movies and books and everything else the way the Germans of World War II are demonized. And demonized universally. Okay, there's no we here, there's I. I can understand some of the demonization when you apply it to the SS. The SS, by the very nature of being the SS, they went a little farther on out there than the other branches of the military did. But the Luftwaffe, the Navy, the regular army, not every single person who fought for Germany during World War II was a rabid Nazi whose entire existence revolved around evacuating Jews the way that 97% of atheists have an existence that revolves around God. Okay. But the German, and not even the military, even the people, everybody, everyone who was a German during World War II has to be set up as among the most evil people that have ever existed in history. And that is exclusively 100% because of what was done to the Juden in the concentration camps, assuming that anything actually happened. So just meditate on that for a little bit. So when you tell me that Jews don't have all this power that Jews are accused of having, you know, the same Jews that have an ethnostate that the rest of us don't get to have, think about that. Another great quote, quote, a communist by definition has a deficit of reason. My notes here I wrote at this point, the movie does a good job of presenting people as imperfect and reasonable slash emotional in believable ways. So again, going back to the acting was great. The acting is very good. And even though the Juden would like us to believe that every German, especially members of the military or the government during World War II, was this blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, chiseled-featured, perfect white teeth person who walked through every moment of their life in a complete certainty that they should exterminate all the Jews and total, utter loyalty to Der Führer, Adolf Hitler, and no questions about the righteousness in the eyes of God and all this other horseshit. The characters are actually presented very well as being normal, flawed people. You know, with different perspectives, different interests, who are trying to come together to an agreement. Although they're not really coming together to an agreement, they're all essentially, as it gets around, it's like, no, you're just being told. You know, the SS is getting your opinions, but the SS is in charge. And, you know, there's that come to Jesus moment at the end where they go around the table and the SS general is like, okay, are you with me or against me? I'm paraphrasing, you know, and it's up to everybody to, in their own way, you know, to their own degree, to say, well, of course I'm with you, because against you, you would kill me while I'm sleeping. I'm not stupid, right? So everyone has to throw in and give their agreement to the plan of the SS to start evacuating the Jews. Oh, then we had another asshole moment where the drivers of vehicles that brought all of the generals and diplomats, politicians, officials to the meeting, they're outside in the snow because it's snowing outside. It's not snowing inside, of course. They're outside in the snow having a snowball fight, and our colonel, our SS colonel, goes outside and sees the snowball fight, and he has to start yelling at people and put the kibosh on that. It's like, dude, man, relax. We get it. Your character's an asshole. We've got it already. One of the characters tells an interesting story. I can't repeat the story. I'm not going to repeat the story. Here's the punchline. He cautions, excuse me, he cautions the SS general on devoting so much of who he is to hating the Jews that when the Jews are gone, he has nothing left to live for. And once again, I think that's a great parallel today, because first of all, we have the obvious, we have the atheist who are so devoted to hating God that if you took God away from them, the only thing they would have left is sticking bananas up their assholes. But we also have, of course, the Black Lives Matter people who are so devoted to hating white people that this is what they do instead of, you know, using birth control, not having children out of wedlock, getting jobs. It's like, when white people are gone, and white people, you know, this is going to happen after I'm dead, but when white people are gone, the question black people should be asking themselves right now is, what are you going to do? I mean, who are you going to hate? Right. Fortunately, the Jews are still with us, so those of us who are normal can still hate the Jews. But when the white people are gone, who are all of you black people going to sit around hating? Who are you going to get your gimme dats from? Who is going to babysit you and provide for you? Who are you going to blame for all of your problems? And we could say the same thing here for the Germans, right? If you get rid of the Jews, well, who do you blame? And this is the difference between white nationalist, which if we come down to it, I would say that I am a white nationalist defined as I think that white people, white European descended people should be allowed to have their own nations. You know, kind of like the Jews have their own nation. As opposed to, if we want to call them neo-Nazis, if we want to call them white supremacists, whatever, the white people, assuming these people exist, I have not personally met any of them. But if there are these white people out there who really want to get rid, evacuate, say, for example, black people, you've fallen into the same trap, right? I have no desire to evacuate black people. I just don't want to have to live around them. I want to be able to have my own nation where they are not there. They can go off and have their own nation and do their own thing. I've talked about this multiple times in the past. You know, in Ancapodice, they can have their own spot. We can have our own spot. Everything's great. Don't allow yourself to become consumed with hatred for another group, even if it's the Juden, to the point that it consumes your life and becomes the nexus of your identity. In this movie, they openly talk about evacuating the Jews. And it's supposed to be a big deal, right? It's supposed to be this terrible thing. And once again, it's simply fascinating in context of current events where you can go on Twitter, with not a conspiracy, and you can see people openly talking about the evacuation of white people. And that's why I just can't get excited about the Holocaust. I just can't fucking care that much. Just can't care.